You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of kicking in the door and in the 98th percentile of waving the 4-4. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still pretty good at waving the 4-4, but it's an area for improvement. Let's not kid ourselves. Anyway, I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. I bomb Romanically Sessions, and this is episode 204. On today's show, Kristaps Porzingis is a superstar. Frank Ntilikina is the truth. And the Knicks have nowhere to go but up. Let's start the show.
Yes.
So like I said in the introduction, Kristaps Porzingis is a superstar. Not next year. Not 3 years from now. Not next week. Not next month. Not next fiscal quarter. Not next Ramadan, not next Yom Kippur, not next Easter Sunday. No matter what weirdly religious milestone you want to use. I don't know why all those holidays pop into my head. We're not waiting for anything is what I'm trying to say. Right now, Kristaps Porzingis is a superstar. Clap emoji. Here's what he did Sunday night in a thrilling come-from-behind victory against the vile, against the loathsome Indiana Pacers. He scored a career-high 40 points on just 24 shots. That's 1.666 repeating points per shot. Mark of the beast. I'm not religious, but if you believe in the Antichrist, this might actually be a bad sign for you. But for me, it's great. Of those 24 shots, he hit 15. That's right, 15 and 24 shooting, 2 for 4 from beyond the arc, beep, boop, doop, boop, 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 boop. Carry the one that's 50% shooting from downtown. He had 8 rebounds and 1 crucial assist to my beautiful sweet baby Frank for the go-ahead 3-pointer at the end of a furious rally. More on that later. My boy had 6 blocks, including an almost unthinkable sunning of Lance Stephenson. Shame on you, Lance, for trying to bring the ruckus in Kristaps' house. You're a New Yorker, bruh. You should know better than that. And the best part? Well, not the best part, but a very good part? Only 1 turnover in 38 minutes of this nonsense for a sterling plus 20 on the evening. But that does not even begin to tell the whole story of Kristaps Porzingis, of Kristaps Space the Floor Zingis, of Kristaps Busta Rhymes smash hit Gimme Some More Zingas, of Kristaps Porzingis, that's K. Kristaps Porzingis last night, sorry, Sunday night, you may be listening to this later, scored 15 straight points, spanning the end of the third quarter through the fourth quarter. It was mostly in the fourth quarter. He single-handedly outscored the Pacers 24-15 over the last 13 minutes of the game. He sunned the shit out of the entire Pacers roster over the entire fourth quarter. I'm going to say that again. He single-handedly outscored the Pacers 24-15 over the last 13 minutes of the game. It's a quarter plus. The last Knick to put up 40 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 blocks was, you guessed it, Patrick Ewing, who put up 46-12-6. On March 7th, 1995, against the Celtics. Shouts to Ian Begley for that stat. Sorry, I'm a little parched. Gotta take a sip. The last NBA player to put up those benchmarks was Dwight Howard in 2011. Only 2 players in NBA history have had a game by the third year of their NBA career in which they scored 40 points and blocked 6 shots. Those 2 players, we talked about one of them, Kristaps Porzingis. The other one, you might have heard of him, Michael fucking Jordan. That stat comes from Blue Cheese of Posting and Toasting. Shouts to you, Blue Cheese. and recognition of Kristaps Porzingis' feats of daring do this week. He was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week after averaging a gaudy, super gaudy, like, you know, Doric columns. What's the fancy column? Is it Ionic? There's Doric, Ionic, I forget all the columns. But like super gaudy. Like your, you know, Goodfellas, the wives when they're all like doing the hair and the makeup, like that kind of gaudy. Gaudy, 33.5 points. This is his averages for the week in which he won Eastern Conference Player of the Week. 33.5 points on 54.4% shooting with 6.8 rebounds and 3.3 blocks over a stretch in which the Knicks went 3-1. That's the first Eastern Conference Player of the Week award, by the way, of his career, and surely the first of 69,000 more to come. Yes, I'm very mature. This, ladies and germs, sorry for saying that, this is not a fluke. This is not a fluke. Not a fluke. What about this would even remotely suggest to you that this is a fluke? What reason do we have to believe that this is not legit? Here's what you might be saying. Small sample size. The sample size is small. To which I retort, small sample size this. And I'm grabbing my crotch, by the way. The kind of stats Kristaps is putting up now. The ones where they're like, only five NBA players have done such and such in the first 10 games of the season. They only include names of all-time greats. It's all MJs and Shaqs and Rick Barrys and Oscar Robertsons. People don't put up stats like this then fade back into the ether of just pretty good. Okay? This is not Jeremy Lin. Alright? I love Jeremy Lin, but you and I, we both know. We could see that the other shoe was going to drop. Not to say that it was going to drop and he'd be awful. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying it's not a shame that we couldn't have kept him. I would have loved to have kept him. But you knew he wasn't one of the best guards in the league, even though he was playing like it. Not so with Porzingis. He's playing like one of the best players in the league because he is one of the best players in the league. And he's only 22. You can point to so many concrete examples of improvement that there's no reason to believe this is a fluke. Look at his play in the high post. He's unguardable for mid-range right now. But he's not like wildly flinging up circus shots. He's unquestionably stronger. We saw the workout videos. You can see the evidence if you watch the game. Watch the game. Guys like Thaddeus Young used to eat him up. And there was nothing he could do about him on Sunday night. Nothing. They can't push him off his spots. At 7'3", they cannot contest his shot. They can't force him beyond the arc because he'll kill him from downtown. And deep downtown from the logo. Play him too close and he can and will take you off the dribble, going to either hand. And again, he's only 22. He's only 22. His usage rate is tops in the league. He's finishing more plays than anyone in the league. And he's gotten more efficient and turned the ball over less than ever before. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. It's fucking gully. And it's superstar shit. Pardon my Italian. I'm sorry for cursing. We haven't even talked about his defense. This next stat comes from Zach DeLuzio of Posting and Toasting. Opponents are shooting 31.1% within 6 feet of the rim with Porzingis contesting. That's the best mark in the league by far of anyone who contests 3+ shots per game and has played at least 3 games. But the aggressiveness is calculated. He's under control. He's not wild out there contesting shots. He's not fouling. We've talked about that before. He's playing way more minutes, expending way more energy on offense, and fouling way less than ever before while holding people to the lowest percentage around the rim of anyone in the league who's contesting a lot of shots. He is a superstar. He's a superstar. And he's not going away. Not only that, he's the best kind of superstar. The one who gets his offense in the flow of the game. You know Melo ain't passing that ball to Frank. Sorry, I couldn't help it. You guys are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. In just a moment, we're going to talk about the unthinkable, that Kristaps could one day be better than Patrick Ewing. We're going to talk about Frank Ntilikina. But first, just want to remind you guys, if you like what you're listening, why don't you hop on iTunes and rate us 5 stars, huh? We would really appreciate it. It would help us out. Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right. It's time to consider the unthinkable. I've held off on saying this for a while, but Kristaps has a real chance, like a real, real chance, to become better than Patrick Ewing, the greatest Nick of all time. And trust me when I say I am really hesitant to say that. Like, as a white dude specifically, I'm not about to perpetuate that great white hype bullshit. I'm not ready to crown every Tom, Dick, and Ronnie Midwest as the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not some Boston fan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like, oh my God, he's the white guy. I love him. But how can you deny what this kid is doing? How can you not think it's at least possible that not only can he keep this up, but that he'll improve? Once again, he's only 22. And I love Patrick deeply. So deep, I put my own ass to sleep. But that love will never be replaced, right? Never be replaced. He's my first. You never forget your first, right? But it is no longer insane to think that Kristaps could be better than Patrick someday. As of the recording of this podcast, Kristaps Porzingis has scored more points in the first 9 games of a season than any Knick ever. He needs 27 points to pass Bernard King's mark at the 10-game mark in his next game. Kind of a random stat, yes. But like I said, this is the kind of company he's keeping now, and he absolutely deserves to be talked about in the same breath as those players. He hasn't done it over time yet. He has not. But barring injuries, there's no reason to believe that he can't. You look at Patrick, he was a force on both sides of the ball. Kristaps is a force on both sides of the ball. Patrick couldn't shoot the three. Kristaps can shoot the three. Patrick, at his peak, definitely hoppier than Kristaps, more explosive. Maybe a little bit more rugged coming into the league, certainly. A better rebounder so far. But there's this, the inside-out game of Kristaps, coupled with his incredible defensive prowess, really gives him a chance to be unguardable in a way that Patrick, as dominant as he was, unbelievable. Like, I'm not talking shit about Patrick here. I'm just saying with Kristaps' skills, he has a chance to be better. It was never insane to say this, in my opinion. But it's especially no longer insane to think that he could be the best player in the league someday. Why, you know, why not? Not top 20, not top 10, the best. It's on the table. It's legitimately on the table. That combination of elite offense and elite defense is almost unthinkable. It's one of the things that made MJ the GOAT, right? We all know about his soaring dunks. His pushing off, you know, in order to get a wide open shot in the NBA Finals against the Jazz. We know all about his feats. The fake flu game, right? When he pretended to have the flu and scored a bunch. We know all about MJ's greatness. Offensively. And we know about it defensively. He's been picked apart to death. But people forget that. Like, that's what made him the GOAT. He was a lockdown defender, too. Porzingis has offensive and defensive ceilings as high as they come. And as Courtney Lee said after the defeat of those bums from Indiana, after they, you know, just booted them off the floor, sent them packing into their clown car, heading back to that boring-ass state, Kristaps Porzingis is only scratching the surface. Ugh. Excuse me. Here's a guarantee for you. Kristaps will break the MSG scoring record. He's going to do it. Maybe not this year. Maybe not. But he's coming for that 62 memo. He's coming for it. Now, a lot of people, they'll say that they hate to say I told you so. But they're all full of shit. Just about the only thing all people share in common, no matter the race, no matter the creed, no matter the gender, is an unquenchable thirst for saying I told you so. And so it is with great pleasure that I say I told you so. Not you specifically, Locked On Knicks listener. You're smart. You're erudite. You're hip, you're with it, you know what the fuck's going on. I'm talking more of the world at large here, because if you've been with us for a little bit while I've been the host, you'll know that all summer long in the lead-up to the season, I had guests on this show to talk about the Knicks, and all summer long I posed the same question. If Kristaps is who we think he might be, isn't it possible, shouldn't we almost expect that he could drag this team to the playoffs by himself this year? And all summer long, everyone was like, yeah, but nah. To the point that I started doubting myself. And now look where we are. It's early, I know, and the Knicks do this every year. But the Knicks are 5-4. And I think they're just scratching the surface of their potential. It's like, I didn't mean for that to be a theme. I need to find a new way to say that. Scratching the surface of their potential. They've like got deep potential. They're like placing the first brick in the wall of their... No, I don't want to use wall analogy. We'll work on that. But let's talk about that for a little bit. I mean, Frankie, baby, hasn't even had his first 10-assist game of the year. And you know he's getting that 10-assist game. I predict, and I'm not just fucking around as like some like Knicks fan here. Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. But I want to be taken somewhat seriously. Like a little, vaguely seriously. I predict a high of at least 15 assists at some point this year. He's going to get starters minutes at some point this year. And he's going to get them during a game where Kristaps breaks the MSG scoring record. And he'll assist him alone on 10 baskets. I mean, have you seen the way Frankie looks at Kristaps? He's in love. Why shouldn't he be? He gets to play with the most tantalizing building block in the entire league. Who are you trading Kristaps for? Tell me who you want to trade Kristaps for. Giannis? I don't want to do it. I want to see where Kristaps can go. Are you trading him for LeBron? Nope. LeBron's the best player in the league, but he's only got so many years left. Kristaps is 22. Who are you trading him for? Steph Curry? Didn't he just turn 30? Again, you know. We got time is on our side. Yes, it is. Time is on our side. Yes, it is. And speaking of Frank, and speaking of I told you so just the other day, I predicted that our boy Frank Ntilikina would have a game-winning steal against Steph Curry in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And while this wasn't quite that, he did get a steal on Sunday night after hitting the go-ahead three-pointer, like the cold-blooded assassin that he is, the most shady Frankie baby. And I told y'all he could shoot. I told y'all. I'm telling you again, this kid can shoot. Look at his form. I didn't see this. I heard Jason Concepcion of The Ringer said on a podcast that he can't shoot? Jason, come on. Come on, man. Frankie boy can shoot. Frankie can shoot. Look at his form. He's an automated shooting machine robot. He's the best point guard we've had since Clyde. And he reminds me so much of Clyde. It's scary. It's scary. This whole thing is starting to smell a lot like the early 70s. Late 60s, I should say. I think we're in a souped-up version of the beginning of the 70s Knicks dynasty. I'm just going to put it out there. Kristaps is Willis. Not quite as established yet, but the revered veteran on a bad team. Frankie Baby is Clyde. Now they just got to find their Bradley, their DeBuscher, their Dick Barnett. To a lesser extent, their Cassie Russell, their Mike Riordan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I only have read these names, you know. But maybe some of these guys are already on the team. Cantor's vaguely like DeBuscher-esque, at least in terms of his ruggedness. He can't really shoot. DeBuscher was a good shooter. Hardaway is like vaguely Barnetti, or maybe he's Cassie. I don't know. Ronnie Midwest is probably Riordan. The point is this. We are on the precipice of greatness. But most importantly, I called that shit. I saw Frank one open practice. I was like, oh, this guy's got it. Ooh, baby, he's got it. Got it. KP's Venus. Frank is fire. Your desire. By the way, if you like this Nostradamus shit, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Every little bit helps. Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, your story, every ding-dong day. Now, before we go any further, I have a confession to make. And that's that I missed the game. I didn't watch it, so to speak. While it was happening, I did not see video footage of the players moving back and forth across the court. I'm not going to be one of these guys who pretends I was there. That's not me. I keep shit real. Come on, you know this. You've been listening? You know. Come on. I had to do it, though, to maintain my relationship with my girlfriend. It's very, very important to me. You know what I'm saying? Shouts to you, Kristen. And sometimes you got to do that shit. I'm not going to go over everything. It's like a huge pain in the ass. Our schedules are insane right now. We never get to see each other. I'm about to be traveling many weeks in a row. I'm still going to get you your podcast. Don't worry about it. But I'm traveling for work. It's a huge pain in the ass. It was the only time I could see her. I wanted to see her. So I made the sacrifice. I didn't watch the Knicks game live. And of course, it was the greatest game at MSG in years, as everyone says. I'm getting texts like, oh my God, are you seeing this? And, you know, I was bummed. But we've all been here. I don't know if you're like me when this happens, but I wasn't even mad when I was checking my phone throughout. If this was the playoffs, I'd probably be mad. I probably wouldn't have made that decision, right? I'm not that nice a person. But I wasn't even mad checking my phone throughout. Because I knew, this is like a little lucky rabbit's foot thing. I knew if I watched it, this wouldn't have happened. And you know what? I was happy. I was happy for my fellow Knicks fans. I mean, ultimately, me, I'm happy for me because this happened. It portends so well for the rest of Kristaps' career and everything else. But I'm happy for you guys that you got to see this. You know, it's not about me. If I have to sacrifice by not watching in order to ensure greatness for the rest of you, I'll do it. I mean, only occasionally. I want to watch most of the games, but I'll do it. I felt like it was the universe smiling down upon me for choosing to cultivate a relationship with a fellow human being. You know what I mean? I think we've all been there. So I got a question for the listeners. What's the most exciting sporting event that you ever missed? Because you were a good person, just like I'm a good person. Maybe it was for mom and dad's 50th anniversary party. Oh, you think you're better than me because your parents aren't divorced? Good for you. You rat bastard, you. Maybe you missed it for a wedding. That's a classic. Something along those lines. If it's weird, I'd like to hear it too. I don't know. Any stories about missing big games I want to hear. Hit me up on Twitter. Locked on Knicks. There's so much more like analysis we could do about what's going on with the team from numbers perspective. This was an episode where I just wanted to kind of, you know, share my happiness, vent a little bit, build a narrative about Kristaps and Frank and me as Nostradamus. Just sharing joy with you guys. So we'll do more deep dives into stuff. We'll have some more serious stuff coming up for you. I hope you enjoyed this. So we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace.